that I put on the batteries around here, of batteries that aren't used for a while, it maintains a high full charge on the battery, and that's what our faith is like. You got to have that battery tender from God that gives you that power that continually charges your battery and gives you that full faith that you and I need. I said this morning that our faith we have to maintain. You remember the letters F-A-I-T-H?
Uh-huh.
What do you remember each of those? Let's go over those real quick and then we'll move on. But what was the F?
Fight.
You got to fight for your faith. Jude said in verse 3, right? Contend for the faith. That word contend means you got to fight for it. You can't just get saved and then say, oh, that's good. I can do what I want now. No, you've got to fight for that faith. I believe you got to fight for it about every day.
Yeah.
Throughout the day, you got to fight for that faith. You got to tell the devil, no, you're not taking my faith. You got to tell the world, no, you're not stealing my faith. You got to tell your own flesh. You've got to crucify yourself daily so your faith will still be strong. Because you are your own worst enemy. You will destroy your own faith without anybody else's help from the outside. And we can do that very well. So you got to fight for it. What was the A for? Attend to it. You got to attend to your faith. You've got to have attention to it. You got to be concerned about it. You got to be focused on it. You got to be thinking about it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, what was that verse? It's really close to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Look at that real quick. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Only got two or three amens. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And I got a few more there. You only had to turn two pages over.
Yeah.
Come on. If you're in Galatians 2, you only had to go back. I only had to go back one page.
Amen.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Are you there?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to read it. Look at it. It says, examine yourself, Paul says. Examine yourself. Whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Examine yourself. That means you've got to make attention to what is your faith all about. Examine yourself. That's why we have to attend to it. We have to have some attention to our faith. What was the I?
Increase.
We've got to increase our faith. The disciples said to Jesus, three words, increase our faith. That's what they said to Jesus, right? Increase our faith. Make our faith stronger. Make our faith more. They were concerned about that. And when Jesus was talking to Peter, Satan was right behind Peter, wanting to sift Peter as wheat. But Jesus said, I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. And that's what the Lord is doing for us all the time. But we need to increase our faith. What was the T?
Trust
in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. As he did with Peter, you need to trust God. And we just read in Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 and 20, that it's the faith of Christ that justifies us. It's the faith of Christ that saves us. So we all need to just trust the Lord that our faith will be strong and that he will help us. And then the H is humble. Humble. So many people are lifted up in pride, which destroys your faith.
That's
right. Because what do you need faith for if you're so prideful? You think you're really somebody. You think you're, you know, super Christian. You think that you've got all the answers. You think that you know all the Bible. You think that you're an expert on everything. No, you're not an expert on anything. We're not experts on anything. We need to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I am not capable of keeping my faith strong at all. I need you.
Amen.
I need your help.
Amen.
You know what I prayed a little while ago in the office before you all got here? I said, Lord, you know I can't do this. I can't preach without him. I can't get behind this pulpit unless I have the Lord with me. I told him I actually, and he knows it, I'm not worthy to do this. I'm not worthy to get behind the pulpit. I said to the Lord, I'm not worthy to be saved. But I certainly thank you for it.
Amen.
We just need to be as humble as we can, and I could be even more humbler. I could be more humble than I am, that I need to be more humble. Because when we think we can do something on our own, that's where our faith is shoved aside. It's put aside. It's put in the back seat. It no longer is your faith of any importance. No longer are you attending to your faith. No longer are you focused on your faith. No longer are you fighting for your faith. You think that you've, again, you know all of the Bible and you don't need to increase your faith. Yeah. We need yeah. help. I need help all the time.
Amen.
And I have to pray that all the time and say, Lord, I need your help. I cannot do this without you. I am incapable of doing this without the Lord. I need as much faith as anybody. You need as much faith as anybody. I don't know how some Christians survive in this world without the faith that they should have, that they don't have. And that's what we'll look at next. We'll go back to James chapter 2. James 2, a faith that works. And so that faith that we do not have to maintain is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is His faith. That is His job. His job was to save me. His job is to keep me saved. His job is to continue to improve my faith and to doctor my faith when I need it. That's up to Him. But that is the faith of Christ. We're not justified by works. We're not justified by the law. You can't keep all the commandments and go to heaven. You can't do works to get into heaven. That is not what James is talking about, as I already said here in James chapter 2, starting there in about verse 14. I'll go back to it and read some more and get into it a little bit more here. But again, what doth the prophet, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Well, it's your initial faith in Christ that saves you, but the faith that you put in Christ, your works don't keep you saved. We all know that. There are some people today, some religions that teach that you get saved by Christ, and it was His blood on the cross that was shed for you, and so the initial salvation process is through Christ. But now, after you're saved, you've got to continue to work in order to keep yourself saved. So that just simply tells me that what Christ did on the cross was not good enough. It wasn't good enough. Yeah, if, right. if that's the case, now I got to work to keep myself saved. Can't Christ save me and keep me saved?
Amen.
Amen. He can, and He does.
Amen.
But there are people that don't believe that. There are people that just say no. We have to now work. And a lot of times it's because they get confused over Scripture, the Scripture that even James writes here, as he is mentioning this. We know that faith can save us. We know that in verse 14. Can faith save him? Faith does save. All right? My faith in Christ saves, but the faith that Christ does and takes over saves my soul. But the faith that we have, it better have some works attached to it. Not to work to get saved or to keep you saved. There better be some works that's evident from your salvation. That's what James is dealing with in this whole passage of Scripture. As I read it a little while ago, I think it's fairly evident. A story is told that the devil had a meeting with his devils to decide how to persuade men that God was non-existent. Since they themselves believed in His existence, we saw that right there, that the Bible tells us, James tells us, that the devils even believed. So since they already believed in His existence, they wondered, what can we do to get people not to know or not to believe in Jesus Christ? One devil suggested that they tell people that Jesus Christ never really existed. And there's people today that don't believe that Christ never existed. There are agnostics, there are atheists, there are others. There are Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and others. Muslims, they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. They believe that He was a good prophet, good teacher, and He had His existence here on earth for something, but He wasn't God. And so there are people being taught that today. And so as the devil got these other devils together, they were coming up with this way. And so they said, well, let's just go out. One devil said, let's just go out and teach that Jesus Christ never really existed. And then they thought, well, and the people should not even believe. Let's make them think that whole thing, Christianity, is just a fiction. It's not real. Now, the Bible that we read is just, it's fiction. It's just a storybook. It's just filled with stories and allegories, and it's really not God's word. That's what a lot of people today believe that. They don't believe that the Bible is God's holy word. So they have succeeded in that area some. Another devil suggested that they persuade men that death ends it all and there is no life after death. And there are people that believe that today too. A lot of religions believe that once you die, you just cease to exist. We know biblically that's not true. When you die, your soul goes to heaven or goes to hell. Based upon what you do with Jesus Christ determines where you go. Finally, the most intelligent devil suggested that they just tell everyone that there is a God, that there is a Jesus Christ, and believing in His name saves you. But all you must do is profess faith in Christ and then go on living your life of sin as you used to. And that's what they decided to do. Make a profession of faith. Make it sound good. But go out there and live your life any old way you want to live it. Just don't change anything, or don't let the Lord change it. Just make a profession and then go out and live the life of sin that you used to live. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you're truly saved, if you're truly born again, if you're truly a child of God, then things are going to be different in your life. Not brought upon by you, but supernaturally, things are going to change in your life. You're going to have a desire to read God's Word. You're going to have a desire to talk to God through prayer. Yes, you'll even have a desire to come to church. You'll want to be in church with other believers. You're going to want to be where the preaching and teaching of God's Word is. And you might even want to give. You might even want to tithe and give to missions. Because you become a whole new person when you accept, really, truly accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But so much of Christianity today is not that. So much of Christianity today is just a profession. Well, they made a profession of faith, but were they really saved? Well, that's between them and God. I don't get into that. I know people like to, some Christians go around and try to judge based on fruits and all that other stuff. And I really have to leave that with the Lord. You got to leave that with God. Somebody comes up to me and tells me that they're truly saved, truly born again. That's all I can go by is their word.
Right.
Yes, you know, we could sit back and say, well, yeah, but look at the way they're living, or look what they're not doing, or look what they're doing. But that's, you're treading in a dangerous area. You become judge and jury when that takes place. A jury and judge. That's what that takes place when you start doing that. I have to believe what they tell me. How many times have I gone to a hospital and visited somebody in a hospital and tried to win them to the Lord, and they give me a testimony of salvation. That's all I can go by. And that's what I go by, is that testimony of salvation. But there are a lot of people today that make a profession of faith, but they have nothing to show for it. Nothing. They don't ever come to church. They have no desire to be in the house of God when the doors are open. They have no desire to pick up a Bible and read. They have no desire to pray, or very little. And you have to wonder, are they truly saved, or did they just make a profession of faith? Just professed salvation. I think that we, as Christians today, have done a disservice in some of our soul winning.
Yeah.
By quickly, you know, pray this prayer, 1, 2, 3, uh-huh. You're going to heaven, and then just let them go. Just release them back into the world again. To me, that's wrong. I've given this testimony before to this church, but many, many years ago, we had a couple come into the area from a big, big, big soul winning church down in Texas, and they wanted to go out soul winning, and I told them to go to a certain area. They said, no, we're going to go where we want to go. And they came back with a whole list of about 12 people that they said they led to the Lord. Most of them were kids, little kids. And they brought them to me. They wanted them baptized. This was on a Thursday night, and they brought them to church on Sunday. And I said, well, I can't baptize kids unless I talk with them. First of all, I also have to have the permission of their parents. Mm-hmm. Just don't bring them to church and have me baptized without the parents knowing. So I went to follow up on them on that Saturday, and most of the kids had no clue what I was talking about. And the parents had no idea, and I got some funny looks from some parents. What it was is the kids were outside playing and they walked down the street and they quickly called the kids over and said, "Hey, you want to go to heaven when you die?" "Yeah, okay. Well, pray this prayer and you can go to heaven when you die." Okay, they prayed the little prayer. They told them what to say. And so I got the kids, they brought some of the kids to church on Sunday, and I sat them down in my office and I simply started to ask some very simple questions like, "Do you know what sin is?" And they had no clue what sin was. No clue. I said, "Do you know who Jesus is?" And one little kid spoke up and said, "Is he the president?" I wish.
Yeah, right.
But they had no clue who Jesus Christ was. I looked at this couple and I said, "I cannot baptize those kids. They have no clue that they're saved. I would be doing them a disservice."
Sure.
By baptizing them and making them think that they're saved the rest of their life, and they had no clue what they were doing. You see what I'm saying? We've got to get them lost before you can get them saved.
Yeah, right.
You've got to get them to be a sinner before you can have them trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's what we're doing today. And I'm all for soul winning. I'm all for trying to get people saved, obviously. But we've gone about it the wrong way for many, many years.
Amen.
And we've got to be so careful, especially dealing with children.
Yeah,
Because their hearts are tender and they'll believe practically anything you tell them. Right?
Right?
I mean, just about. And so we've got to be careful when we talk to kids. I know that here in our church, I know that we have adults here that deal with children, and they don't do that. They don't just get them quickly to pray a quick little prayer and
right.
tell them how saved they are. We've got to be so careful. We've got to be gentle with kids. We got to let the Holy Spirit deal with them.
Yeah.
And that's extremely important. But there is a bunch of people running around professing faith in Christ, but there's no fruit involved. There is no works involved after salvation. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Philippians 2:12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling."
Yeah.
Is Paul saying you've got to work for salvation? No. You know he's not saying that. He would contradict himself, and the Bible would contradict it. He's not saying that at all. When it says work out your own salvation, it needs to be a result of your salvation.
Right.
When you get saved, there's going to be works coming, flowing out of you that shows that you are saved. And not only does it show everybody around, but it shows you that you're saved. Right? I mean, was there a change in your life when you got saved? Was there a real change that took place? Probably, you wouldn't be sitting here right now if there wasn't a change in your life. And you got saved. You wouldn't be sitting here. You'd be out in the world doing something else. But there was a change that took place in your life that brought you to church, that brought you to the Word of God, that brought you to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And again, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2:10. Again, we're talking about a faith that works. A faith that works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. This is a great verse on this. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We are walking with our works. We are doing what God wants us to do. Are we perfect? No. But we are striving. We are attempting to increase our faith. We're attempting to live for Christ. We're attempting to please Him. We're attempting to glorify His name. That's our job anyway as a Christian, is to bring glory to God's name, right? Right?
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to be doing, to bring a smile to the Lord's face on a daily basis, to bring glory and honor to Him, to praise His name. We read that in our psalm today. Just to praise the name of God. A real, true, Bible-believing Christian will do that. A real true Bible-believing Christian will work out their salvation. It'll be evident. There'll be some evidence of your salvation in your life. You're not perfect. You're still going to flounder and fumble the ball along the way. You're still going to have problems. You're still going to be times in your life that it's going to be difficult for you. But you know you're saved. And there's fruit there. And there's works there. Not for salvation or to keep you saved. It's just you're attempting to work for the Lord because you love Him.
Amen.
You want to serve Him. You want to bring glory to His name. And so, I don't know who said this, but I wrote it down. Saving faith is alive. Professing faith is dead. Saving faith that makes one a Christian will lead to good works. We'll always do that. Going back to James chapter 2. Remember, living faith, saving faith produces good works. I'll say that again. Living faith, saving faith produces good works. You can't help but show out what's going on in your life. You can't help but show when you're saved, right? I mean, when it's hymn singing time, you want to sing the hymns.
Amen.
You maybe can't sing very well, but you still want to sing. You want to bring a joyful noise unto the Lord. When we gather together and we have a church service like this morning, tonight, Wednesday night, you'll want to come. Now, maybe you can't make every service based on whatever is going on in your life, but you should want to be here. You should attempt to be here. You shouldn't let any excuses keep you away. You should make every effort that you can to be in the house of God, because it's part of what we do as Christians. Again, and we're not trying to prove something to one another. This is not a proving ground to one another. You know, if I don't go, what are they going to think? No, it ought to be, if I don't go, what does God think? How does the Lord feel about me not attending church regularly or faithfully? How does the Lord feel about me not reading my Bible daily? How does He feel about me not talking to Him? How does the Lord feel about my Christian life? I guess if you have any question as to how your Christian life is going, you ought to ask the Lord how it's going. Lord, how's my Christian life? He'll tell you. The Holy Spirit will make it very clear to you. And if you have some flaws there, He'll let them know. He'll let you know what that is so you can get them taken care of. Ask for forgiveness and move on. All right, James chapter 2 again. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace. Be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So here somebody comes to you, and they really have a desperate need, and all you say to them is go in peace and be warmed and filled. Wait a minute, they came to you without the clothing they needed and without food. Where are they going to get the clothing? Where are they going to get the food if you don't give it to them? You just rather shove them on to the next person, or you don't care about them. That's what James is saying. You don't care about them. Mm-hmm. We should care about people. We should care about their needs. A true Christian, a brother and sister wants to be concerned or is concerned about the needs of other people. Now, I know you can't take care of the needs of everybody. We all know that. But collectively, we can do something to try to help somebody that really has a true need. Collectively, as a church, as a group, we have people that call us constantly from outside of the church wanting help. They want their bills paid. They want their cell phone paid. They want their cable bill taken care of. They want their rent taken care of. They want their security deposit paid. They want this. They want that. We can't take care of the entire town or the entire area. But if you have a need, we better know about it. I'm saying you, the people in the church. Usually the first thing I ask somebody that calls me that I have no idea who they are, I say, do you go to church anywhere? Well, no. We've been thinking about it. And usually I say, well, you really need to think strongly, because when you are involved in a church, that church family is going to help you out.
Right.
But to just call up any church, you're a stranger in the area and have no clue who they are, and yet they want the church to help them, but they won't attend the church.
Right.
See, I have a problem with that. Maybe you don't like that, but I have a problem. If you don't come to church and you want, but we're not good enough for you to attend church, but we're good enough to give you money, or you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We've had that happen here so many times. So many times. I can't get into all of those illustrations. But we are to try to help one another within the church. I forget exactly which passage it is. We don't have time to get into it, but I think it's 2 Timothy or 1. I just read both Timothy's. And Paul has a whole passage of Scripture in there of how to deal with the widows in the church, mm-hmm. how to deal with people in the church, what the church's responsibility for widows are and for people within the church, within the church body. That's what we're supposed to be concerned about, is the people that are within our church. But again, James is using this as an illustration about how we say we have faith, and yet we have no works tied with it. Verse 17, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. There's nothing there tied with it. You say you have faith, but you don't do anything at all. You say you have faith, but you can't attend church. Come on.
Yeah.
Something's wrong there. Something's wrong when you can't attend church, or you can't read your Bible, or you can't do this, you can't do that. I love verse 18. A man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith, what? By my works. You may have a really good, you may talk really good. Boy, you can talk the Christian talk. You've got the lingo, you've got all of the words down, and you sound really good, but it's the works that prove your talk. What is that phrase? Actions speak louder than words.
Put your mouth, money where your mouth is.
Oh, yeah. Let your footsteps tell what you really are when you're doing and when you're actually. And again, this has nothing to do with getting saved or keeping saved, staying saved. It's a result of after we're saved. Do we just say we're saved and there's nothing to show us that we're saved, or? As James says, you know, again, show me. Let me see. Let me see how real your faith is. You say you have faith, let me see it. And that's what Paul was saying in Philippians chapter 2. Work out your own salvation. Let me see the results of your salvation. Let me see some fruit of your salvation. And he says, of course, in Ephesians, as we already read, those are good works. That comes after our salvation, the good works is. And so, it's something that we really need to think about. Again, we're talking about tonight, we're talking about faith that works. So the question is how is your faith? Is your faith working? Is your faith working? You know, is your car working? Is your refrigerator running? Is it running? Better go catch it. We used to do that when we were kids. Call up somebody, hey, is your refrigerator running? Ah, you better go catch it. Do you have Prince Albert in the can?
Yeah.
Let him out, please. Stupid. That's not what we're talking about here tonight. But is your faith working? Is it really working?
Yeah.
That's what you need to ask yourself. Again, Paul says, examine yourself.
Yep.
How's it working? How are you maintaining it? Getting your oil? Hey, did you go check your little sticker?
3%.
What?
3%.
3%. Okay, you got it on the dash.
I got to get it changed.
Okay, Jim, get your oil changed. But check those little things. I always look at the sticker in my vehicle. I check the church van, my truck, the car. I check all of that stuff. When a tractor gets at a certain hours, goes in, gets all of the fluids changed, and gets all taken care of, that's just something that I do. It's called maintenance. It's called preventative maintenance. Mm-hmm. It's making sure that things are running well, because you don't want it to break when you need it the most.
Yeah.
And that's the way our faith is. You got to spend some maintenance on it. Uh-huh. And you know the neat thing about this faith is you don't have to spend any money on it.
Yeah.
The car, the truck, van. I mean, you know, you take it into a garage even for an oil change, and you're spending 30, 40, 50, 60 bucks. I don't know. I used to get underneath there and do my own. I don't do that anymore. I let the mechanic do it. That's just me. You feel like you're lazy. No, I'm not lazy. I'd rather have them do it because they know what they're doing.
Amen.
And so when it comes to taking off that filter, sometimes it's like, ah! You get flustered and frustrated, and then you get oil all over your heart. Just all over.
That's the real reason.
Oil all over your heart. And it's all over the place, and let them do it. They're trained to do it.
Amen.
And they have the tools, and they have the lift, and all that other stuff. Some of us would get stuck under our vehicle, and we couldn't get out.
Meddling.
Yes, I know. But when it comes to maintaining our faith, it doesn't cost us anything. It's a freebie. All we have to do is just maintain it, biblically, spiritually. Let me just read a few more verses, then we'll be done. He says in verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." You say, "I believe in God." Okay, good. The devils also believe in God. They know exactly who God is. They actually believe that God is God. And the devils actually believe that Jesus Christ is God. I mean, in the New Testament, every time that Jesus came across a devil, they knew exactly who he was. Even when Paul was out preaching and he came across the devil knew who Paul was.
That's right.
Some of these other counterfeits, they had no idea who they were. You know, one time, Jesus I know, Paul I know, or who are you? I made a note in my Bible. I said something like, "Does my preaching get the attention of Satan? Does our life get the attention of the devil?
That's right.
Does our faith get the attention of the devil?" We have to think about that. Verse 20. "But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Verse 26. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." You can say a lot of good stuff about yourself and about your faith, but it's going to be proven by your works.
Right.
By your works. Again, you understand works does not save you. Works cannot keep you saved. But works will be a result of and a fruit of your faith, your salvation. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, Paul said. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this message on faith. Thank you, Lord, that we all need to maintain our faith. We all need to work on our faith. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, again, through this passage of Scripture, through the other verses that we looked at tonight. Lord, you examine our faith. Lord, sometimes I think that when we do the examination, we think we're okay.
Yeah.
But Lord, when we check it out with you, we get the honest report. And so, Lord, I pray that you would really, really examine us and that you would reveal to us how our faith really is. And Lord, if we're floundering, if we're struggling in our faith, I pray that you would help us to make those necessary adjustments and help us, Lord, to maintain our faith in a right way. Help us to be attentive to our faith. Lord, I pray that we'd spend time in that book. We'd spend time praying. We'd spend time in church. Lord, and realize that it's important for us to keep that maintenance. Father, Paul the Apostle said that he kept the faith. And he can only say that because he did. He held on to his faith. He kept his faith. He maintained his faith. Lord, help us to do the same thing tonight. If there's somebody here tonight that's not saved, truly born again, I pray that they would be saved tonight. I pray that maybe somebody is listening, Lord, and they need some help with their faith. I pray that you'd touch their hearts right where they are, wherever they are. And so, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll have a brief invitation.